Kildare Today
with Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
A couple of other messages. Mickey Meath in County Meath says, Happy New Year to all at KFM. You're right, I live in a small rural area. The speed of cars, no sign of Gardaí. These prats should be taken off the road, their licences, etc., says Mick in regards to that. I think the average speed, if you've been in other countries, I don't know what your experience has, we'd like to hear that. 0833 97 97 97, email studio at kfmradio.com, or you can call us, of course, on 045 898 99 99. But I genuinely feel that the speed of cars internally within towns and villages in this country is way over the safety limit and needs to be addressed. Hello, Clem. The week wasn't the same without you all. I really missed you and the two sidekicks. Hope your mam is well, says Liz. Yeah, mam is in good form over Christmas, Liz, telling us that she's having a 90th birthday party, even though she's having her 91st and stuff like that. She also told me 2 days ago, when I was sitting with her for a couple of hours, she looked at me. I was wearing my favourite casual, very snazzy blue shirt, I have to say. And my mum looks at me and says, I'm going to buy you a new shirt and Dickie Bow for Christmas. Dickie Bow, if you don't mind. When I said, Mum, why would you do that? This is my favourite shirt. It looks like you walked out of a farmyard, she says. And she starts smiling. Yeah, 91 and still cracking the jokes. Keep the messages coming anyway to those sources. Let's continue. On that particular note, I'll tell you, was because it certainly was interesting, no matter what way you look at it. Men's Aid has reported a 30% increase in demand on its domestic violence support services in 2021 compared to 2020. That's up nearly a fifth. Let's hear more on that particular note now, because we're joined by the CEO of Men's Aid, Katrina Bentley. And if Katrina just waits with me for 1 second, we'll stick her on air by doing this. Good morning and Happy New Year to you, Katrina.
Good morning, Clem. Happy New Year to you too.
Not the most positive note, I'm afraid, that we have to report, because that increase in domestic abuse services, Women's Aid have signalled the same issue. For yourselves, a 30% increase in domestic violence against men.
Correct, sadly, yeah, in 2021. So a busy year, I suppose challenging due to obviously the issue with domestic violence and obviously, you know, the added difficulty of COVID as well. But I suppose the encouraging thing, if I could say something positive, it does show that men are finally starting to come forward, excuse me, to seek some help and to seek some support. So that is a good thing.
You see, when I see the term domestic abuse, I often think, you know, that's a bit gentle. Because I know the term domestic violence is used, but when you see what domestic violence, what is behind that particular term, generic term, it, in this case, it involves female partners biting, scratching, kicking, slapping and stabbing, and men attending appointments with visible bruises, black eyes and stitches. That brings it home graphically.
Absolutely, and that's the visible disclosures that we hear, the visible wounds and injuries. The invisible, in terms of the course of control behaviours, like the intimidation, the humiliation, gaslighting, monitoring, controlling behaviours, mockery, taunting, they're the issues as well. A huge part of how difficult it is when you're in an abusive, controlling relationship, they're the behaviours that the men are disclosing as well. 94% of our calls to our helpline are by a man disclosing a female abuser as well. So it's very challenging. It's very challenging, and it's very difficult when you're in that situation.
Explain that emotional and psychological abuse. You use the term gaslighting. What does that mean?
Gaslighting. So an example would be where she would be telling them that he said something and he didn't, and he starts to think that he's going a little bit crazy, that he's imagining things. Things taunting like you're stupid, you're useless, you're worthless, you're a crap father, just kind of constantly putting him down and bringing down his self-esteem and, you know, his own self-morale, etc., etc. So they're invisible, and because they're chipping away, it's repeated that behaviour. It's a pattern over time. It could be happening for months and years, Clem, before a man actually will, or any person, male or female, will turn around and think, wow, this is happening, you know, for a long, long time. This is actually abuse. It's like the penny drops, if you know what I mean. So, yeah. And Christmas obviously is a very difficult time, and emotions are running higher, and family time, etc. And I think for us, definitely, again, this year, sadly, straight away over the Christmas and in the past week, disclosures of dads not having access to their children and children not seeing their dads, because that obviously works both ways.
And children being used, are children being used as a means of intimidating a partner?
Absolutely. Yeah, the term is called parental alienation, whereby the child or children are used to, like, as weapons, really, to get back at the other parent. And of course, what's actually happening there is the damage is done. You know, it's actually hurting the child the most, to be very honest. So, and also the children not having access to dad means they also don't perhaps have access to grandparents and aunts and uncles. So it's not just, you know, it's not just one relationship. The impact on an abusive relationship impacts the entire family and the wider network.
Yeah, it's so sad when you see, you know, it's to be any man to suffer this, or woman indeed, but in this case we're speaking about men particularly, men ranging in age from 18 to 88. Imagine the drama of an 80-year-old who feels compelled to contact the service. If we can accept that the abuse going on, you know, is perpetrated by someone in that age cohort as well. You supported men of 25 nationalities in the first quarter, and we mentioned children, Katrina. A 100% increase on child protection referrals to TUSLA.
Yeah, sadly, on Wednesday as well, within the first hour when we reopened for our first full day, we had four calls between 9 and 10 a.m. and we had, sadly, had a child protection referral as well to TUSLA. So it's a very busy time.
And even, I suppose, what underpins the tragedy of all of this, there's not a single refuge for men in this country.
Not yet. Sadly, we didn't have that available to men, was made available to men for Christmas of 2021. So as an organisation, we're very keen to rectify that in 2022 for dads on their own and dads with children to have somewhere to flee. During the Christmas season, obviously, yeah, absolutely.
And you get only 1% of the approximate 30 million funding that's provided for women's services.
Now, that pot is not enough. That funding isn't enough for our women's services as it is. So it's obviously about expanding that pot. But obviously, we're very hopeful that we'll get a bit larger sum of funding this year. We'll know in the next couple of weeks what our funding will be for 2022. We don't actually know it just yet. But we will know hopefully in the first quarter.
Surely, I mean, if there's thousands of men, and we're talking about thousands, are we, who are suffering this?
Well, we had just shy of 8,000 this year, and it's 5,500 last year. So I suppose, you know, we can only expect it to increase. The research back from 2005 showed that 95% of abuse suffered by men was not reported to Gardaí. So we know that men find it very difficult to come forward, the various barriers of stigma, fear, shame, and actually being unaware as well of being abusive and obviously having nowhere to go. Therefore, I suppose we can see 2022, the next three and the next 5 years, really, I suppose, is the impact of the trauma will be seen absolutely for the next couple of years. So sadly for us, the figures can only rise. But at least we're here and at least the men are starting to come forward, Clem.
Yeah, it's terrible, terrible, terrible. And we'll profile the issue with women also this week, as we do regularly here on the programme, because this is one of the tragedies that's just basically behind those squinting curtains of Ireland, if we might use that term euphemistically, which is going on in thousands of homes. And the ones reported to you essentially are only the tip of the iceberg, I feel, and I worry, Katrina.
Absolutely, yeah. I suppose it's the hidden pandemic that's existed in Ireland for decades. It's just the fact that we're actually, thankfully now, bringing it out onto the airwaves and talking about it and bringing it out into the public. And if I could just mention for people as well who are having to work from home, just a note to anybody listening who might be a boss or, you know, or a team leader or a supervisor, to maybe just check in on your team who are working from home, because for everyone, home is not safe. And there's some very we're at the end of the line. If you're a mum or a dad or a brother or a sister, and you're worried about somebody, but especially today with schools and workplaces reopening, etc. And obviously some people remain working from home, just to check in on each other as well.
All right. The number, by the way, for Men's Aid, it's Dublin 01-554-3811. I'll give out these numbers again in a couple of minutes' time after our next interview. And the website is mensaid.ie, M-E-N-S, mensaid, A-I-D. .ie. The number again, 554-3811. Remember, man or woman in this scenario, please reach out. There is help there. I'll give you the number for Women's Aid and Teoch Tearmann in a couple of minutes' time, and I'll repeat those numbers for Men's Aid as well. But meanwhile, CEO of Men's Aid Ireland, or Men's Aid, is Katrina Bentley. A 30% increase, and those figures are staggering. I'm struck by 21 nationalities and an upper age limit of up to 88 reporting. And these men reporting on that. We wish you well in 2022, Katrina, and keep up your amazing work. Thank you for joining
us. Thanks very much. Good morning
to you. That's Katrina Bentley. Now, from that rather pessimistic outlook in terms of what's going on behind the curtains in the homes of this country, positive news this morning, in particular for Nace, because we've got very, very good news in regards to how they've performed in the IBAL survey. I'm joined by a spokesperson with IBAL. 2021 IBAL Litter League survey results are out, and Nace takes the gold medal. Conor Horgan, good morning to you, and thank you for joining us.
Clem, good morning. It's great news for Nace, and I'm actually here in the Osprey Hotel in Nace because I'll be presenting the winning trophy to Kildare County Council and the Tidy Towns in a couple of hours. So it is a terrific result for the county as well. It's not the first time that a Kildare town has triumphed. You'll recall a couple of years ago, Kildare Town came on top. And mention also of Leixlip, which again made the top five in fourth position. So all in all, Kildare can be very proud of its performance in our league.
Yeah, it's a marvellous, marvellous performance. And we're going to be joined, by the way, after 10 o'clock this morning by Vourneen Hennessy, who's Secretary of the Nace Tidy Towns and Vice Chairperson, local councillor for the Sock Dems, Councillor Bill Clear. Very active on that front as well. Tell me a little about your survey and what you take into account.
Well, unlike the Tidy Towns, really our survey is all about litter. That a number of times a year, Ontashka, on our behalf, send out inspectors to 40 towns and cities across the country, and they just measure the litter in a town. They divide the town into a number of sites, that would be between 10 and 30 sites, and they give each site a grade based on the amount of litter in that grade. And when I look at the report this morning for Nace, I mean, it makes very pleasant reading. Every site looked at was a grade A. Now, that's something that we don't see too often.
There was a notable improvement at the Fair Green Recycling facility. And what other areas?
That's right. And I would mention, Clem, that it's often the recycle areas, which in fairness are hard to manage. It's often those areas that let down a town, but not so this time round. The shopping arcade off the main street presented very well, everything in very good order. Poplar Square has been reconfigured to accommodate outdoor dining, and the overall presentation was very good. That's great to hear because, you know, outdoor socialising is continuing. We're seeing it in increased litter across the country, so it's great to see that managed properly.
And I have to say, we had issues with that during the year, whereby, you know, there was significant littering, and it's well done to all the efforts that have gone in to clean up that. Yeah,
definitely. And Harbour View as well came in for mention as being in very good order with the seating, the street bins, the bollards, and some colourful murals helping take away the bared look of one boarded up property. So all in all, you can sense that great care and work has gone into achieving this result, which is the case because all the towns vying for top spot, Clem, you know, they haven't been in that position overnight. They've been, you know, for several surveys now, they've been vying for the top slot. So it only comes with hard work.
And Leixlip?
Leixlip, again...
Arthur's Way, I see the Heritage Trail.
Yes, indeed. Not only excellent, but the whole layout, with regard to litter, but the whole layout, the maintenance, impressed. The Mall and Captain's Hill and the three approach roads were excellent, because we do include the approach roads to a town. It was let down by the Bring facility at Lidl, which was a grade C, so in other words, heavily littered. lots of items discarded to the side. And that happens, you know, that it's hard for local authorities sometimes to manage these bring centres. But otherwise, it was another great performance with Leixlip. Bear in mind, Leixlip was runner-up in our table last summer. So it's like it's consistently making the grade.
So are we doing better or worse overall in terms of not alone Kildare, but countrywide?
Overall, we're doing a little worse. That's to say, in our towns, we're doing well. Our towns have bounced back from a difficult year in 2020 when COVID meant that the tidy towns groups were curtailed and even the local authorities were curtailed in their cleaning. But in the cities, we're not doing well at all. Cities are probably at their worst in the last 10 years. And our main city centres, for example, 4 or 5 years ago, they were clean. Now Dublin, Cork, Limerick, Galway, they're all littered. So, unfortunately, it's a tale of two halves.
Well, our congratulations indeed to Naas, and well done Leixlip as well. And all those tidy towns groups and who are working so hard throughout every county to keep our environment safe. And, you know, you see so many tossed dumping bags still going on. It's a constant struggle to keep our environment clean. But we're delighted with that. Congratulations to all concerned. And as I say, we'll touch base with some of the personnel involved in Naas after 10 o'clock this morning. Spokesperson with Ibel, Conor Horgan, on Naas being named Ireland's tidiest town in their latest survey. Thank you, Conor, and good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. Good morning. Now, what was I going to say there? Do you want to pop over to Owen for a minute, I think?
First of all, just a message in from Shamie Moore, the Mayor of Naas, saying congratulations to Naas Town, particularly Naas Tidy Towns Committee volunteers under the hard work of Vorneen Hennessy, youth and community groups, schools, individual volunteers and the Council Town Services, all who have combined to bring this great award to the town. As town mayor and Tidy Towns member, I'm hugely proud of everyone's effort. Congratulations. That's from Shamie Moore. And finally, Clem, just for the moment to let people know that there is a tree down in the local area in Kilcullen, and that's on the road between Carnalway and Silliot Hill. It's a large tree down on that road, blocking the entire road. Councillor Tracy O'Dwyer has put a photo up on Facebook. She says Gardaí are on the scene, but that road at the moment is impassable between Silliot Hill to Carnalway.
Clem, fully agree with your comments on the speed in town, says John. Speed of some cars on the Salins Road in Naas is way in excess of the speed limit. I have to say again, and I know at the risk of repeating myself, I think this is an issue we need to address. As roads and access roads internally in towns improve, people are treating them like they are speedways. Happy New Year for 2022 to Clem, Kira and Owen. Love the show, says Kirsten in Naas. Many happy returns to you, Kirsten. Thank you for your message and all those sending them in. Clem, it's the people who are on the CE schemes that keep Naas tidy and no mention of them. Well, I'm sure when we chat with Vorneen Hennessy and Bill Clear after, they'll mention everyone concerned in relation to that. After the break, we're going to be talking about the minimum pricing of alcohol that comes into force today.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, keep your messages coming. 0833 97 97 97. Email studio at kfmradio.com, or you can call us on 045 898 99. Is the era of cheap alcohol over in this country? Is it a wise decision? Is it one that will have consequences that we mightn't have envisaged? Supermarket prices, reductions on alcohol at Christmas and at other times throughout the year as loss leaders, etc., etc., would seem to be at an end from today. Let's hear more from Eunan McKinney, who's Head of Communications and Advocacy with Alcohol Action Ireland. Good morning, Eunan. Happy New Year to you.
Good morning, Sam.
And thanks for joining us.
And you too. Thanks for having me on.
No, you're welcome. Right, what's happening from today then?
So from today, a section of what is the Public Health Alcohol Act of 2018, which endeavours to reduce alcohol used across the whole of the population, has come into place. And that section is called Minimum Unit Pricing for Alcohol Products. And what that measure will do is that it sets a floor price for alcohol beneath which it will not be legal to be sold. And so what this endeavours to do is to strip out of the retail market, the off-trade, as we call it, the availability of that really cheap, exceptionally cheap alcohol products that we know exist and which are doing quite a significant level of harm in supporting binge drinking and high-risk drinkers.
Right, we'll come to the other side of it in a minute, but just to maybe flag some of the prices that I have seen online in regards to it. And it will involve, for example, we're all familiar with the slab of 24 cans of lager or whatever have been sold for €20. That will now double to over €40.
That's right. And those slabs of beer, in the run into Christmas and into the new year, we've been discounted even as low as €10 by the retailers, which again demonstrates some degree of the responsibility taken by retailers in relation to the availability of cheap alcohol. But that's another story. But essentially, at those prices, we saw alcohol being sold for less than the price of milk. And so, yes, slabs of beer largely will become a thing of the past because the alcohol producers will no longer sell slabs of beer. You will see that the market will change and that we will see alcohol being sold in smaller units, 12s, 16s, 8s. And again, to remind people, what is the endeavour of a minimum unit pricing? It's a very simple and modest objective, and that is to reduce alcohol use across the whole of population by about 8%. So if the person who was buying 24 cans is now going to buy 16 cans because the market will change, that's a significant drop in the level of alcohol use in which they'll be consuming. Yeah. And that's what this is about.
Now, this is going to happen across the slabs of beer, but if you look at the shorts, for example, a bottle of whiskey, which has, in some cases, retailing between around €15, will now be €22 plus. And the bottles of wine, which we've seen on sale in supermarkets from €3.99, €4.99, etc., the minimum price for a bottle of wine is now going to be nearly €8.
Well, it depends. You see, the way it's determined is by the level of alcohol that's in the product. So your typical 12% bottle, 12% alcohol strength wine will be sold for, cannot be sold for less than €7.10. And if you go up into the 13.5% or the 14%, the price will rise because the level of alcohol in that product is rising. Mm-hmm. So yes, but again, if you look in any of your local supermarkets, you'll find that there are or were up until yesterday, there were 2, 3, maybe 4 brands of wine that were available at that price. But the vast majority, and there are hundreds of different brands of wine available in our supermarkets, the vast majority of wines is largely sold at or about or above the minimum unit pricing already. So I don't see that there's going to be a significant real shift in relation to the average Joe who buys a bottle of wine once a week for the weekend. You know?
And what basically underpins this decision in terms of, you're mentioning that, what will be the positive outcomes of it, do you believe? Because we'll talk about the negative outcomes being advanced by some people in a few minutes.
Sure. Yeah, I think the first reason, well, why are we doing this? Why is the government doing this? So back in 2012, a large report was produced, one of those many reports that sit on shelves, as people say. And in it, what we recognised as a state was that we needed to address the main drivers of consumption. And the main drivers of consumption are price, promotion, and the availability. And so the Public Health Alcohol Act has endeavoured to put in place what I would regard as modest measures in relation to all of those things. And we know, if we look at what we did with tobacco, for example, price plays a major part. So in tobacco, we did similar things. We addressed the price, we addressed the marketing, the promotion of it, and the availability of it. And so we're doing a similar issue in relation to alcohol to try and reduce people's alcohol use. Because if we reduce alcohol use, we can reduce the alcohol harm. And that harm, on a daily basis, sadly, looks like 3 people losing their lives because of alcohol-related illness.
And without being petty or anything else, but
sure,
is that reduction in harm, Eunan, not basically going to impact the those who are marginalised much more than those who have the wherewithal? Because, for example, if I have the wherewithal, that a couple of euro extra is not going to bother me. But for people who are on the margins of society and very, very vulnerable, it's certainly going to impact them.
Well, no, again, because what, you know, if you look at the research in relation to this, what the research demonstrates, and there was a significant level of regulatory impact done on this measure back in 2014 before it became part of the bill, it looked at the whole idea of the low risk or the low income groups. And actually, the low income groups are the most abstemious people. The higher 31% of people in lower income groups don't drink at all. And the lower economic groups also have the greatest adherence to what we call low-risk alcohol use. So they stay within the guidelines on a weekly basis. And if you do the math, what you end up costing a low-risk drinker on an annual basis is it'll probably cost them about €24 a year.
But is it not discriminatory, just basically from the perspective of that it's going to it discriminates proportionately more against people on fixed incomes or limited incomes than it does who are better off?
No, because this is a public health measure. What it discriminates against is people who drink too much.
Right. Okay.
That's the bottom line.
What about the fact that everybody's going to take trips over the border now? I saw on television last night, I don't know if you saw it, an off-licence owner in the north saying, hey, we're stocking up, we're ready for the big rush across the border.
Well, I unfortunately can't write the headlines for RTE News and the sensational view that they took in relation to their broadcast. But the reality is that every year in Ireland, about €460 million crosses over the border in terms of cross-border shopping. And about 14% of that, about €64 million worth, is alcohol. I don't see that changing any time soon, because what drives the border shopping is, in the first instance, 60% of the people who live along the border, and they're not going to live anywhere else. But the reason they do that is because we have a currency difference, we have a VAT difference, and we have a significant cost of living difference, which drives people across the border to do their everyday groceries, to do clothing shopping, and do cosmetic shopping.
Is it not preference, though, that Northern Ireland would now follow suit to maximise the positive impacts that you're talking about?
Yes, it is. But the point about that, and which is never spoke of, is that if Northern Ireland did introduce minimum unit pricing, and we have, you know, we've been working with our colleagues in Northern Ireland to bring that about, and Robin Swan, the Minister for Health, has indicated that he is going to do that. But the point about that is that the minimum unit price rate that would be set in Northern Ireland would be reflective of the cost of living that is in Northern Ireland. So the price differential is about 21-22% in alcohol products, north and south. That price differential is going to remain. It's going to remain because they work in a different currency, they work in a different VAT rate, and they work in a different cost of living.
All right. On that note, anyway, it's in from today, folks. And while there might be mixed views on it here and there, many people will focus on the fact that alcohol has become so cheap in recent years that it's leading to massive and significant abuse of that scenario. We'll see how all of that unfolds. Alcohol.
Thanks, Clem.
Head of Communications and Advocacy with Alcohol Action Ireland. Thank you again for joining us, Eunan McKinney, and a Happy New Year to you again.
Thanks, Clem.